to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. I'm going to read about 7 verses for you there this morning. I started to find another sermon, but I was talking to my wife about it. Got all you folks here, and I guess it'll be all right. You know, I'm preaching about the elders this morning. It's not a salvation message, but find your place there and look up here for just a second. Hope you brought your Bible. We've got Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, we'd be glad to give you one. We're glad to have our visitors today, too. I forgot to say this. This brother on the back here, this is Jim Bounds. Jim, raise your hand there. This is Jim. Up here, this is Kim and Tori. They're from Albuquerque, still Albuquerque right now. This is Brother Gilman's daughter, Brother Gilman, Clyde Gilman, our friend, and that's his daughter and son-in-law. They're traveling around. We're glad they stopped in with us today. And all the rest of you folks, we're so glad. It's our privilege to be able to stand here and talk with you. And thank you for coming today. Hope we can be a blessing to you. I know the music has already been a blessing to you. What a blessing to have some folks that play for us. I've just listened to Michael and Nicole playing that piano there. One of our folks one time went out the door and said, "You play them songs too fast." Well, I'm not going to slow them down. We want lively hymns. That's what we like. And it's wonderful to have some folks that play. We appreciate the horns. What happened? You didn't bring your horn this morning? She brought her horn Wednesday night, and then it comes Sunday morning, didn't bring her horn. Any of you other folks, if you can play, anybody can hear play a fiddle, we'll buy you a fiddle. Or a violin. Violin, y'all know there's a difference between a fiddle and a violin, you know. Y'all know what it is, don't you? You carry a fiddle in a toe sack, and a violin, you carry it in a case, you know. That's the difference. But see, if anybody can play, we'll buy you a fiddle or a horn or something like that. You know, won't buy any drums, but we'll buy some of the other things. We'd love for you. I think we got one or two folks maybe taking piano lessons, and that's wonderful. We thank you for that. Thank you for the good music. That was a good song and really a blessing. I'm not preaching a salvation message this morning, but my job is to feed you the Word of God. That's in this lesson right here. But everybody look here. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you don't know if you died that you'd go to heaven. God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how old you are. You need a Savior. And the only one available is Jesus Christ. And if you'll turn to Him, if you'll come to Him, He'll save your soul. God sent His Son into this world, and He came just for you. That's the reason that He came. He voluntarily gave His life on the cross. He suffered a horrible death so that you would not have to suffer. That's why Jesus came. He died, and they put Him in a tomb. They sealed up the tomb so nobody could get in and nobody could get out. They thought they'd never see Him again. But in 3 days, 72 hours, God raised Him from the dead, showing that God was pleased and satisfied with what God did, with what Jesus did on that cross. And He is alive today. The Bible says He's alive forevermore. He will never die again. He died one time for all sin for all time. And you can come to Him. You can be saved today by receiving Him, by accepting Him as your Savior. You can have eternal life. Doesn't cost you a thing. It cost God His Son. It cost God His Son so it could be free to you, because you can't do it. You cannot purchase it. You cannot work your way to heaven. But you can be saved today. I hope that will help you. In your Bibles, in 1 Peter chapter 5, let's read together beginning in verse number 1. I'm going to talk to you about the elders. The elders. Verse number 1 of 1 Peter chapter 5, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Verse number 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We will spend most of our time in the first 4 verses there, but that's a wonderful thing. Verse number 7 says, casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. He is a mighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, that sent his son, but yet the Bible says he cares for us. He didn't have to. He didn't have to come, but he did. Bible says in verse number, in the last part of verse number, chapter number 4, the last verse there, it says he's a faithful creator. Then it says in verse number 4 of chapter 5 that he's the chief shepherd. And then it says in verse number 6 there that he has a mighty hand, the mighty hand of God. And see, he's a mighty God, but yet he cares for us. He cares for us. We can cast all of our care upon him, and he cares for us. So let's see if we can get some things from these things. I hope it'll be a help to you, a blessing. At least it'll give you some information. Father, we ask your blessing upon these words. We pray the Spirit of God would help us and enlighten us and speak to our hearts, God. And God, help us to be better Christians. And bless your people today and help me to be a help and a blessing to them. Please, thank you for it. In thy name we pray. Amen. The elders, I'm just trying to get us all familiar by preaching this with the book of 1 Peter. And then there happens to be in these verses about the elders. So we'll take that this morning for a subject. The Bible does say in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4 that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It also says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So when you read the Bible, then you're reading the words of God. That's God speaking to you. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Even the stuff you don't like. Even the stuff you don't like to read, you know. There's a lot of stuff in there. Man, it's hard to read. It may be boring, but it's like life is. That's some of life is just boring. It's just working and working and working and doing this. And that's the way life is. And that's the way the Bible is. So it takes it all. You can't be, laughing all the time. But I'm trying to get us familiar with it. We have here the elders. Back there in chapter number 4, we had the suffering. And we have this morning the Apostle Peter's the writer of this, and he knows something about suffering. Then we have over here, on the other side of what I'm going to teach you about this morning, we have humility. And so Peter knows about both of those things. So he knows about suffering and he knows about humility, knows about those things. And probably the Apostle Peter probably did suffer some kind of death. Which way that he died, but it is not given. And he also learned how to be humble. Somebody like the Apostle Peter, who a great man that he was, learned how to be humble. We can all be more humble as life goes on. Even Peter here, as life goes on, he became more humble. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse number 1, he called himself Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. 6 years later, when he wrote the book of 2 Peter, he said this, Peter, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. So 6 years later, then he put in there that he was a servant. I don't know about you, but I want to be a servant of God. The Bible says about Moses, possibly the greatest man in the Bible, whenever he died and God was talking to Joshua, the man who took his place, God said about Moses, he called him Moses, my servant. Joshua chapter number 1, Moses, my servant. You know, being a servant, that's a voluntary position, you see. A slave, you don't have any choice. Now, I hear people saying that the word servant in the Bible is a slave, I don't really agree with that, because a slave has no choice about the matter. But a servant, you can choose to serve or not to serve. I want to choose to be a servant. You know, the Bible says about Job, whenever God was talking to the devil, he said to Satan, when Satan came before him in Job chapter number 1 and verse number 6, and then Job chapter 2 and verse number 3, God said to the devil, he said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? Have you considered him?" And he told him all the good things that he did, you know. You see, I think it's a good thing to be a servant. You can be a friend of God too. You can be a friend of God. Jesus said in John chapter number 15, "I've called them friends, but I'd like to be God's friend too. But I want to be his servant." That's a voluntary position, to be the servant of God. That takes humility. We need always to increase in humility. Even someone, as I said, like Peter, who was devoted to Jesus, could increase in humility. The longer we're saved, if we're going to grow any in the faith, then our humility should increase. You know, we're not going to think more of ourselves. We're going to think less of ourselves and more of God, you see. So humility ought to increase. So we're talking here in verse number 1 about the elders. He says, the elders which are among you. An elder is a spiritual leader in the church. Other places he's called a pastor. It's an ordained office, as we'll see. There's another term in the Bible called a bishop. So I'm going to give you these points this morning. Not anything new, but I'm going to give you the role of the pastor and the responsibility of the pastor and the reward of the pastor. You may have heard those before, but I had them in my Bible, so I thought that I would use them. First off, number 1, in verse number 1, is the role of the pastor. He says, the elders which are among you. There are several things about elders. I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, back to the left there just a little bit, to the book of Titus. To the book of Titus, we'll read the requirements for elders or pastors. Titus chapter number 1, it says verse number 5. Paul is talking to Titus and he says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee." So you see, he says to Titus, "I left you there, and I want you to set in order. I want you to help these folks with their church there, and I want you to ordain some elders in every city as I had appointed thee." And then he gives down through here, verse number 6 to 9, he gives some requirements for an elder, for a pastor, for a bishop, as they're called in other places. Verse number 6 says, "If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly." So a man has to be blameless. He has not to be doing things that people can point their finger at him and say, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. That's against God. An elder has to be blameless, number 1. And then he says he has to be the husband of one wife. Well, I've got one wife over here for nearly 53 years and never have wanted another one. But you know, there's one church in the land that their so-called pastors and things like that, they're what you call celibate. Now, how in the world would you get around this verse right here? How would you get around that when the Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:1 that a man has to have a wife? You see, if you're going to be a pastor, you're going to be a bishop, an elder. They call them priests. You know, that's Catholic Church is what I'm talking about. You see, but they go directly against the Scripture and have their so-called priest to not be married. Look here. God would like for them to be married. Did you know that? They'd stay out of a lot of trouble if they'd get married. God wouldn't be mad if the Pope got married. As a matter of fact, he ought to get married. He ought to get married and he ought to get saved too. You see, that'd help a lot of things. But you see, the Bible says there for a man to be an elder, he has to be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. In other words, needs to have his house in order. If he's going to stand up before people, if I'm going to stand up here before you and talk to you about these things, then I need to have my house in order. See, and we raised 4 kids, and you know, my wife always had them. I was usually doing something else, but But she'd sit out there and have them all sitting right together, 1, 2, 3, 4, Jeff, Clayton, Nikki, and Amber sitting there. They didn't cause any trouble. They're not allowed to do that. They didn't run up and go and take a sip of water every few minutes. They didn't do those kind of things. They had to sit there. Am I telling the truth, Nikki? And a preacher, if he's gonna stand before people, he's supposed to have his house in order, and things like that. And so it says in verse number 8, qualifications for an elder: a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just and holy and temperate. So he has to do all of those kinds of things. You know, you got to be sober. That is, you got to be a pastor, and you got to keep from getting drunk. See, you can't get being mad all the time. I'm joking with y'all a little bit, you know, but that's true. But that's true. You can't be getting drunk all the time. You can't, you can't be taking sips of wine and doing all that kind of stuff. He says, verse number 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. Turn your Bibles back over to the left a little more to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. All right, in 1 Timothy chapter number 3, again it says, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Now you notice the word desire there. If a man's going to be a pastor, if he's going to be a preacher, there has to be a desire in his heart. If somebody doesn't want to do it, you don't want to get up here, you don't want to preach, you don't want to help people, you don't want to watch over them as the Bible says, then, you know, if you don't have that desire is like what is like a call. That's a call to desire the office of a bishop. You don't just take the job because, you know, you're going to make a lot of money, especially if you're an independent Baptist preacher. See, you don't want to do that. You know, it's not because you're going to make a lot of money, you're going to be popular. You never. That's never going to happen. See, that's never going to happen. But you have to have a desire to want to preach the Word of God, to want to sit down and study. And man, the Bible says much study is a weariness of the flesh. But you've got to force yourself to sit down, and you've got to go pour over the Scriptures and read them day in and day out. You've got to do those kinds of things. People don't want to do those kinds of things. Then, you know, you don't have a desire for it, then you're not called, see. You're not called. You've got to have those kinds of things. If a man desire the office of a bishop, it's an office in the church, two offices in the church, an elder or bishop and a deacon. You see, we're not talking about deacons today, but those are the two offices in the church. It's an ordained office that is found in the church of God. See, the church is not something that man cooked up. A Bible church is not something that is just here because people, you know, decided that they would get together or something. It's from God. Jesus Christ founded the church, you see. And that's why we're here. He made it for us so that we could come together, and we're supposed to come together as a church and as an assembly. And we're supposed to, see, with what we do here, we sing the songs. We sing hymns. See, we're not going to go the other direction. We're not going to play rock music or anything. I don't care what kind of crowd it's going to draw. I don't care anything about that. All I care about is doing the right thing, you see, pleasing God. And the reason that we come together is because God has ordained that we'd come together and hear preaching and that we would praise Him. Everybody can take part in the singing. That's to sing and to praise God and to worship God. Worship God in the Bible, that's bowing your head and saying, God, thy will be done. That's worshiping God. That's not jumping around. It's not jumping around and in all that kind of junk. See, that's not it. To bow your head and say, in bowing your head, God, thy will be done. And I yield myself to you, God. I'm here. I present myself. You've taken time. I was watching people. As I was coming to church this morning, I was thinking, Brother Yazzie, look at all the stuff they're going to miss. They're going to miss hearing that song this morning. Amen. They're going to miss holding a songbook and singing, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, or these other songs. They're going to miss all of that. And Sunday just turns out to be just one more day. That's all it is. That's all it is, you see. And they miss all of that good stuff. They miss feeling and hearing and knowing the presence of God. Whenever God's people get together, they miss all that. They just go on and their day's just one more day. That's all it is. They missed it. All you got to do is come in. Somebody else do the preaching. How hard is that, you see? I don't know. I don't know why they don't all want to come, you know. They're afraid they'll get their toes stepped on or something. I don't know. Why, we never do things like that. We never do stuff like that, you know. Amen? So you see, a desire, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. He said that's a good work. Verse number 2 there, 1 Timothy 3. A bishop then must be blameless, like you said over there. The husband of one wife. You got to have a wife. And by the way, he didn't say women. Sorry about that, ladies. I know you don't want to be the pastor or preachers or anything like that. There are no qualifications in the Bible for women pastors. It's not there. I don't care if all the other denominations on earth ordain women preachers and pastors. It's not in the Bible. Not that we don't love women. We love women. Amen? But wouldn't it be a terrible world without women? I wouldn't even want to be here. Well, all the men, they'd kill themselves. Amen? That's right. They'd kill themselves. You see? That'd be terrible, but there are no qualifications in the Bible. Tell me, how's a woman going to be the husband of one wife? It ain't going to happen, see? And no women deacons in the Bible either. I know they changed the Bible in Romans chapter 16 and verse number 1. All these new Bibles, they changed that. A servant there to be a deaconess. It's not in the Bible. They're wrong about it. There are no women deacons, no women pastors. You ladies don't have to worry about getting called to preach or being a pastor. That's not in the Bible. I don't care if they all change. Doesn't matter. It's not in the Bible. True saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. He ought to be a man. You can tell he's a man. He looks like a man. He sounds like a man. He preaches like a man. About like the, I hope I don't make anybody mad, but you know the president. We finally got a man in the office there. Amen. I'm glad I got an amen or two there, see? There's a lot of things he does wrong, but at least one thing you can say about him, he is a man. We know he's a man. He sounds like it. He acts like it. He talks like it. He means what he says, I guess, most of the time. I know. I don't even know if he's saved or not. Maybe at least he acknowledges Jesus Christ. He acknowledges God. He acknowledges the Bible. He probably doesn't know which Bible to read, you know. But at least he does that. He is not pro-Muslim. Thank God for that. Amen. Verse number 2, a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, sober, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker. See, can't be fighting all the time. Not greedy of filthy lucre. But patient, not a brawler. See, I'm pretty weak on patient. Not a brawler, not covetous. One that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Verse number 5, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? You see that verse right there? If a man know not how to rule the house of God. I'm just waiting for you to think a little bit. What does he mean by rule? It defines it in the next few words. Take care of. To take care of the house of God, the church there. See, take care of it. That's what he's talking about there. If you can't take care of your own house, then how are you going to take care of the house of God, the church there? See, how are you going to do that? You see, people, we all of us need self-discipline to discipline ourselves, our family. I say this 100 times. That's why you're here this morning, because you have some discipline. You could have thought up a whole bunch of other things to do today. I'm sure of that. But yet you thought that you put God first at least for a while, we put God first and we came together this morning. We disciplined ourselves. We disciplined our life. That's what you have to be if you're going to be a disciple. A disciple, a disciplined one. You've got to discipline your life, see. People can't get things done around the house and all that kind of stuff because they can't turn the television off. They can't put the phone up. They can't get off the internet. They can't do this. Why? They're just not disciplined enough. You better learn how to discipline yourselves. You better learn how to discipline your children. If you don't discipline your children, whenever they're grown, they won't have any self-discipline, you see. You've got to discipline them. Make them do what is right. Make them do what they don't like to do a lot of times. That will teach them to be self-disciplined then. Whenever they're on their own, if you don't teach them that, you just let them do whatever they want. Then whenever they're grown, then they're going to follow the flesh. They're going to follow the flesh, brother. And brother, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The flesh, following the flesh is going to go away from God. It's going to go away from God. If a man desire the office of a bishop, turn back over to 1 Peter chapter 5. He says this, Peter says, he's talking about himself here. The elders which are among you. The elders which are among you. You know what an elder is supposed to be? He's a spiritual leader in the church. We're talking about the pastor here. He's supposed to be one of the people among you. Among you. He's not sitting off in some office somewhere. He's not a pope. He's one of the people. He comes out from among the people, you see. The elders which are among you. He's not above them. He's not above them, see. He has the same problems. The same, you know, all kinds of stuff. He has the same as the people there. The elders which are among you, I exhort. Look at the next phrase. Which also am an elder. He said, I'm one of you folks. I'm an elder. Look here. Peter, the Apostle Peter. Now the Catholic Church, they take that and say, well, Peter, he's the first pope. He's the first pope. No, he wasn't. He wasn't the first pope. They just say that because they want to make their church seem legitimate. He was not the first pope. He never claimed to be a pope. He never claimed to be a cardinal. He never claimed to be an archbishop. He never claimed any of that stuff. He said, I'm an elder among you. That's all that he ever claimed to be. He didn't claim to be way up above the people. He's an apostle, and here he says, I'm an elder. And I'm among you. I'm one of the people. Never claimed to be anything else, you see. Never claimed to be anything else. These people, these guys, these preachers that go around nowadays calling themselves apostles. Watch out. They're not apostles. Let me tell you something, folks. If an apostle in the Bible could raise the dead. Somebody claims to be an apostle nowadays, you can try him out. Raise the dead. They couldn't heal a sick cat. They couldn't heal a sick cat. It's a shame. It's a shame. For these preachers, so-called preachers, they're not even preachers, on television, they rake in hundreds of millions of dollars a year. Brother, the Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian who ever lived, when he died, you know what he had? He didn't have a bank account. He didn't have Social Security. He had the clothes on his back. That's all he had. That's all he had, you see. And all that stuff is evil. Man, that is evil stuff. Don't give them a penny. Don't give them a dime. Don't give them a dime. So number one, an elder. You see, we read the qualifications. He's among you. He's one of you. You see, he's not the chief shepherd. I'm not the chief shepherd. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. You folks right here, you don't belong to me. You belong to God. He's the chief shepherd, you see. Notice it says there, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. All right, I'm not down to it yet. He's an elder. He is a witness of the sufferings of Christ. The Apostle Peter, he saw Jesus have those nails drove in his hands. He saw him on his face in the garden. He saw all of that. He got a view of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Let me show you that. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Here's Peter, James, and John going up on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17. Read you a couple of verses there. Matthew chapter number 17. And Matthew 17 verse number 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John his brother. Now, see that Peter? He's the writer here. He bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. Look at verse number 2. He was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And there, behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And he goes on. See, when they saw Jesus Christ, the Bible says that he was transfigured before them. You know what that is? Jesus Christ is giving them a picture of him in his glorified body, how he's going to look at the second coming. They got to see that. Peter, the writer here, he got to see that. He said, I was a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Verse number one again in 1 Peter chapter number 5, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. See, he saw all of that. He's a witness of the sufferings of Christ. See, so we'll let that go for now. That's the role of the pastor. Number two, the responsibility. I'll move on quickly. I'll try. The responsibility, verse number 2. What does it say in verse number 2? It says, feed the flock of God which is among you. That's the pastors. That's the elder. That's what he's supposed to do, is feed the flock. You came this morning, even if you don't know about it, you came to get some food. You came to get some food. Feed the flock of God. You know where you get your food? We're not sitting down at the table and, you know, eating physical food. That's not what he's talking about. Feed the flock of God. See, you folks right here, the church, you come together, you're called the flock of God. You're not my flock. As I already said, you belong to God. See, this is God's people. Feed the flock of God. You feed them the word of God. I gave you the verse at the very start, Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. See, that bread, man shall not live by this physical bread that you eat. He needs some other bread, some other nourishment. You know what that is? That's nourishment for your soul. That's what you get from the Bible, see. Nourishment for your soul. So your soul will not shrivel up, you see. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He says, feed the flock of God. Feed the flock of God. The Bible is compared the words of God, I should say it like that. The words of God are compared to bread, milk, meat, honey, apples, and all that kind of stuff, you see. You get it. You get it through preaching. As you hear the Bible, as you hear the Word of God, as you read the Bible yourself, as you ought to. You ought to read your Bible every day. Every single day, read your Bible 7 days a week without fail. If you fail, start over. But read your Bible. Just read it. Just read it through. You'll be getting some food. You'll be getting some knowledge. Feed the flock of God which is among you, you see. That is the responsibility of the pastor. Read on in verse number 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. To look over the flock. To look over them. Take care of them. Watch over them. See how they're going. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. And then he says this, not by constraint. Not by constraint, but willingly. All right? Here's what I think that means. We could say it both ways. Not by constraint. In other words, God's not going to have to force me to do that, or he shouldn't. And he should not have to force people to listen either. You have to be willing. See, the next word he says, not by constraint, but what? Willingly. You have to be willing to do it. See, nobody, the Christian life is not about being forced to do anything. You can't force anybody. See, we're not like the Muslims. You know, if you don't become a Muslim and say whatever they say, Allah is great or something like that, you see, then we're going to cut your throat. We don't do those kind of things, you see. We just pray for people. We talk to people. We preach to them. That's what the Bible says is Christian warfare, you see, is preaching to people, talking to them, giving them the gospel. See, that's Christian warfare. Amen. The Bible says you have to be willing. You have to be willing. I've got to be willing to do my part, and you've got to be willing to do your part. You've got to be willing. People can come and they can sit down and they can close their ears. They're not willing, see. Not willing. You got to be willing. Got to be willing. You got to be willing to be saved. See, or that's it has to do with the will. If you will trust Jesus as your Savior, you see, in the Bible on Wednesday night we're studying about Genesis chapter 24. Abraham sent his servant out over to Mesopotamia to get a bride for his wife, and they found her. Her name was Rebekah, and when they found her, they said, "Wilt thou be this man's wife?" Picture of salvation. You know what she said? "I will. I will. I'll go with you. I'll go back down to where Isaac lives, and I will become his bride." You see, it's all in your will. How are you this morning? You're sitting there. You're sitting there. What are you thinking about? Are you thinking that you will yield yourself to God, or you're saying, "No, I ain't going to do it. I don't care what you say. I'm not going to do it." See, that's what Pharaoh said. Pharaoh said, "No, I don't know who God is, and I don't care who he is, and I'm not going to let the children of Israel go." No. See, people can say yes, or they can say no. It's got to be in your will. How is your will this morning? Is it yielded to God, or is it stubborn? Is it stubborn? Never works out good if it's stubborn, you see. It's in your will. The responsibility, see, of the elder, the pastor there, is to feed the flock of God. Verse number 3 says, let's finish verse number 2. But willingly, not for filthy lucre. You know, that's money that's gotten by the wrong kinds of means, but of a ready mind. Verse number 3, still talking about the responsibility, neither as being lords over God's heritage. You see, there's one Lord, but we're to be in samples. Examples, see. Be like an example, see. That's a responsibility. So number 1, you got the role. Number 2, you got the responsibility. Number 3, in verse number 4, you got the reward. The reward. If a man is faithful to do his job, he gets a reward when he sees the Lord. Verse number 4, when the chief shepherd shall appear. See, that's Jesus. We're just little under-shepherds here. That's all we are. We're just little under-shepherds here trying to do the Lord's work, trying to preach to people, trying to help them to grow in the faith and all that kind of stuff. But there's one chief shepherd, see, and one of these days he's going to appear. We're going to see him. And you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. See, that's the reward. If anybody else, it doesn't matter how big a church you got, doesn't matter. But if a man will just be faithful to preach and to teach as best he can all the time the Word of God and feed the flock of God, he'll get a reward. He'll get a reward about it. Amen? Let's bow our heads, please.